Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We're breaking down this proposed trade that I saw on Bleacher Report. And it's a trade where the Titans move out of 7 with the Buffalo Bills. So the Titans would get the 28th overall pick in exchange for the 7th overall pick, in addition to a 2024 second, the 60th overall pick. Keep in mind, not all second and third round picks are the same. 60th overall pick, the 128th overall pick in the third round, and a 2025 first round pick. I'm saying absolutely not, and if I'm Rand Carthon and the Bills call me with that offer, I am laughing you out of the building. Willie's for it. But Nick, you compiled the last how many years? 10 years?
10. Yes.
Last 10 years of 28th overall picks versus 7th overall picks. Just to recap, give us the 28th and then also the 7th.
Okay. So the 28th, starting from 14 to up to now, Kelvin Benjamin, wide receiver, Laken Tomlinson, Joshua Garnett, Taco Charlton, Terrell Edmonds, Jerry Tillery, Patrick Queen, Quiddy Payne, Devontae Wyatt, Miles Murphy, and as for the 7th overall picks from 14 up to here, Mike Evans, wide receiver, Kevin White, also wide receiver, DeForest Buckner, Mike Williams, Josh Allen, the quarterback, 19, Josh Allen, the edge rusher, Penei Sewell, Derek Brown, Evan Neal, and Tyree Wilson.
I mean, those are Pro Bowlers. That's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
True.
It's about one of the best edge rushers in the league.
So it's about 50-50.
That's
hit or
a
miss.
Starting NFL left tackle. 50-50?
That's basically what it was.
I think Quiddy Pay and Patrick Queen are great players.
At 28.
At 28, yes.
Correct.
But you've got Josh Allen.
I would say they are great players. Not Quiddy Pay, but Patrick Queen. These are not great players. I mean, they're good players, but I wouldn't label them great players. But they do fall on the side of guys that was, okay.
They're playmakers.
But that's your 28th overall pick. I'll take Quiddy Pay and Patrick Queen.
Right.
But you're talking
about that the 7th or the 28th?
That was the 28th.
28th, okay. Yep.
So on the 7th side, like, personally, hearing that trade and looking at this list that I've compiled, I would take that trade from Buffalo in a heartbeat. Just because.
How can you look at the players that were drafted at 28 versus at 7 and say that that's a better deal?
Well, because what I said in the break, I don't think Buffalo is going to be phenomenal next year. I feel like that first round pick is going to be somewhere in between like the 12 to 15 range.
But that's an assumption. And I don't know if I can put all of my eggs into that basket. Because
right.
They might be horrible. I mean, like, consider last year. Let's say the Bengals. And we're not saying they would, but consider the Bengals offered you their first-round pick next year, and you said no because you think the Bengals are going to be really good. Well, having the Bengals' first-round pick this year would actually be not that bad because Joe Burrow was hurt and the Bengals weren't very good.
Right.
Anything can happen. But I don't know how much I can gamble with how good the Bills may or may not be. But I do want to bring up a trade that happened very similar to this.
Okay.
Whenever the Falcons traded up to draft Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So the Browns had the 6th overall pick in the 2011 NFL draft. The Falcons traded up with the Browns to take Julio Jones with the 6th overall pick. The Atlanta had 27. So very similar. The Bills have 28. The Titans have 7, 6th, and 27. Let's just call that a wash. So in exchange for the 27th overall pick, the Falcons gave the Browns, for the 6th overall pick, the Falcons gave the Browns the 27th overall pick and a 2012 first round pick. Also a 2011 second and fourth and a fourth in the following year. So they got a second, a fourth, and the 6th overall pick. In exchange, the Browns got the later round pick at 27, and they got a second that year and two fourths. Excuse me, that's confusing. So you might say, okay, great. Like the Browns collected picks. With those picks that they collected from the Falcons, they drafted Phil Taylor.
Who?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then with their first round pick that they got in the following year's draft, they drafted Brandon Whedon.
Well, okay. You can't. And listen, we're going to – we have Brandon Whedon of all people. You're going to – there are things that are going to be in place that sort of feeds your argument. And there are going to be things in place that sort of feeds Willie's argument. I think every draft is different. Maybe those individuals need to do a better job at evaluating when you're accumulating all these picks. You better be a damn good evaluator, because it's going to come back and bite you in the rear end if you're not. Accumulating a lot of picks and don't know how to pick make no sense. You know, why accumulate them if you don't know how to then use those picks to benefit your team? It seems like they didn't know Atlanta, well, not Atlanta, but Cleveland.
Cleveland.
As Cleveland, as we've seen in many, many years prior to that and after that. Cleveland is not great when it comes to drafting.
But if the Titans made that move and ended up with Phil Taylor and Brandon Whedon, like, that's going to get people fired.
I understand.
Well,
the same way as if they draft a bust at seven,
but you can't they're going to take that. Just as much heat.
You can't look at that draft and say, I'm staying at the seventh pick. You know, even with the scenario you brought up, Willie, even with, you know, sort of the scenario I brought up with them moving back up, I'm staying at seven because I need a left tackle. And if my left tackle is there, I'm going to take him. I'm not looking to move out. I'm not looking to muddy the waters any. The guy's there. I need him. I'm taking him. He's one of the top five or six players in this year's draft. I'm taking him. I'm not going through all these gymnastics of trying to get picks. I'm just trying to make my team better. And making my team better is staying at seventh and drafting a guy that we believe is going to help move our organization or our franchise forward. If it's Alt, take Alt. If you feel it's a receiver, then take a receiver. I am not worried about what someone else did years ago and what they got, because to me, I'm looking at it like they didn't know how to draft. No wonder, you know, they are in a position that they're in.
Everybody misses. This is what the studies showed the crux of this article that I'm referencing as to why you would take this deal and not just take the seventh pick. From 1988 to 2004, and this is where the data, there's enough data to where we're not nitpicking one deal that worked or one deal that didn't work. We're not picking on one seventh pick that busted or one trade where they drafted Brandon Whedon.
I'm just using it as an example of a very similar trade that was made in the past, and the team that traded up ended up smelling like a rose, and the other team still stinks.
Right. We could go all day with those on both sides of the ledger. The treasured number one pick from 1988 to 2004 is actually the least valuable in the first round, according to the surplus value a team can create with each pick. And this is where going from 7 to 28, that's what it's talking about, creating a surplus. Across all rounds, the probability that a player starts more games than the next player chosen at his position is just 53%. In other words, picking a little higher doesn't guarantee that you're going to get better performance than a guy picked just a few picks later at the same position over time. And this is where you got to rely on your scouts, and you've got to believe that you have a better eye than your competition. Mm-hmm. But there is some randomness involved. That's what the studies show over the long term. There's a little bit of randomness, mm-hmm. a little bit of luck involved. It's a little arbitrary.
Well,
you can't control.
We know that the draft is a little luck involved.
But here's the big one. This is the biggest reason that I would sign up for this trade. Teams generated 174% return on trades by foregoing a pick this year for picks next year. And that's what you're doing. You're foregoing your seventh pick, and you're not even foregoing the pick. You're still getting a first-round pick, but mm-hmm. you're getting the extra first-round pick next year, which is hugely valuable, and you add a second and third this year. To me, that hits these points. If you subscribe to this philosophy, then you would make that deal.
But the deal, the point and the crux of the point that article is making is that you create more value for yourself. In this trade, you're not creating more value for yourself. You're getting more picks.
Not according to the Jimmy Johnson.
Correct.
Yeah, according to the chart, it adds up.
You're not getting the value of the seventh overall pick. Like, if you want to move out and you get a haul in return, cool, great, do it. But it needs to be advantageous.
Okay, so if it were even, if the picks, if they added another picker in there, or they made it such that the points added up on the Jimmy Johnson, right? Whatever that would need to be, mm-hmm. whatever the Bills could get you, then would you make the deal? Would you feel better about it?
It would need to be more value. Because I don't
okay, let's
need
say it's more
move.
Value.
You want to move. If it's more value, then yeah, I would be open to it. But depending on where that value comes from. are you adding more value because you gave me your seventh round pick for the next 10 years? Like, no thanks, I'm not interested in that. I need more value because you want what I have. I don't have to move, so you have to give me what I want. Coming out with less value, and I know it's according to the trade chart, nothing's perfect, but coming out with less value and moving back, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, well, then look, I would compromise and say if I had a Floyd Reese or other people telling me that Jimmy Johnson chart is what we subscribe to and you would need to calibrate as such, okay, so let's add another sixth round pick or fifth round pick, whatever it would mean to make that even Steven. To me, that would be the best play for the Titans long term, in my mind.
Let's get your thoughts on that. Yeah. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. My guy, Chris, Titans and Truth, is on the line. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Caroline, Willie, Mr. D-Mates, how's it going?
Going well.
Good.
All right, I got 2 points. To the earlier point about is it that simple with Joel, it is absolutely that simple. Control, Alt, Delete. You control the seventh pick, you pick Joe Alt, you delete the left tackle problem for the next 10 years. It is that simple. Let's not make it more difficult than it has to be. I know we're in mock draft fatigue, and we're just ready for the night to come. So you pick Joe Alt. Now, unless he's not there, you take Malik Nabers, or if by some shot Marvelous Marvin is there, I take Marvelous Marvin over Joe Alt, no questions asked, keep it moving. On the trade, Willie, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to get yourself fired if you were the general manager. There is no way on God's green earth you make that trade. And I'm going to give you another situation. 2020, even though this wasn't a trade, the Tennessee Titans were picking that low at 29. What did they do? They were hoping that Jordan Love would still be there, and they were trying to get out of that pick. They tried to get out of that pick, and Green Bay basically messed up the entire plan. That was a gamble that was taken. We were thinking that that Jordan Love would be there, and we would get some capital and get out of that pick. We got stuck with Isaiah Wilson. You have more of a – if you trade back that far, even though you get all that capital, you're falling for the setup. A pastor would say that. Don't fall for the setup. Willie, you are falling hook, line, and sinker for that setup. That is draft day. Oh, we need to go after this guy because he's gullible enough that he might take the deal. And you're setting yourself up for failure, even with all of that. Because at 28, you have less of a chance to hit on somebody. And you won't have a chance to pick an Isaiah Wilson. Take Joe Alt or Malik Nabers and just be done with it.
Thank you for your call, Chris. All great points.
He makes great points. I get the fact that you are lowering your chances of hitting big with that one pick, 7 versus 28. But you seem to overlook the value of 3 picks in the top 3 rounds, a first, a second, and a third, that you currently do not have. That's 3 more swings for a big hit over the next 2 years. And I'm here to tell you that I'm looking at 2 years from now, 3 years from now. That is how I'm building a roster, and I need those swings. I need those throws at the dartboard for this team to get where they want to go. If they were one player away, then I would probably take the swing at 7. But I need volume.
But you're not
I need
picking
quantity.
At 7 if you're
I don't
one
need just
away.
Quality. I need quality and quantity.
You're not picking at 7 if you're one player away. But the Titans wouldn't be at
right.
7 if they were one player away from contending for a Super Bowl. They need players, and they need good players.
Right. They need a lot of players.
They need game-changing
That's why they need
players.
More picks. And you're getting an extra first-round pick, an extra second-round pick, and an extra third-round pick
and I would
in
need
making
more than
this
that.
Deal.
I would need more than
okay.
that to go back to 28.
Throw in another fourth. Do whatever you got to do.
Throw me more seconds. Throw me more thirds. I need.
You got to take what that team is offering you. Like
I don't have to take anything.
Right, but if you take the 7th pick and your, what is it, 38 that they have, and no third-round pick, you better hit on those 2 players. And time over time, it shows there's a wide range in that. Like, the chances of that happening, I love it. If it happens, that's mm-hmm. great, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. Like, I like better with my throw at all across the dartboard, would I have, what, five picks instead of just the two?
And I hear you 100%. And I'm not anti-trading
back. I think I'm coming out ahead that way.
In the slightest. But I would say it doesn't matter where they pick. 7, 11, 15, 28, 32, wherever they pick. They need to hit. They need to hit 7. They need to hit at 38. They need to hit wherever they draft. That is, I think, priority
number one. And the chances are better the more picks that you have.
Statistically, yes. The more options you get, yes, the better chance you have of coming out ahead. But what I'm saying is if I'm going to trade back that far, I need more. I need it to be advantageous for me. And I don't have to move back if I don't want to because I'll have a pretty good player sitting with me at 7. And if Buffalo's on the phone, Minnesota might be on the phone too. Denver could be on the phone. Vegas could be on the phone. I'm going to work the phones, and I'm going to work them against each other. If I'm the Titans and I'm trading back, I need to get as much as I possibly can. I'm squeezing every single drop out of that orange. And I don't think that 28th overall, 60th overall, 128th overall, and a mystery first-round pick is squeezing everything out of that orange. We'll continue to get your thoughts on this coming up next as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Don't know why. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler Home Generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler Home Generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. So go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. That's leecompany.com/giveaway in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. Lee Company, all you need. So we'll catch up with C-Makes, Chris Mason, in 30 minutes.
Yes, just for people just joining us, we mentioned this in the first hour, but I know people are probably wondering, when's the first game? You know, when are the game times? Here's what I'm being told. Because Vancouver still has a game to play tonight, and fortunately, because the Stars took care of business, by the way, they were kind of on cruise control for most of the night. I'm like, guys, are we playing here? Like, I didn't see anybody hitting anybody. Yeah. There didn't seem to be a lot of urgency, but the Stars did end up winning the game. All they needed was a point. They were down 1-0 at the end of the second period. I'm like, we might need to be talking about the Stars a little bit more here. But Stars win. It's the Predators Canucks, and everybody's like, when's the schedule? Because Vancouver plays tonight, I don't know that we're going to hear anything official from the league until after their game is over tonight. Unfortunately, they play in Vancouver. It's going to be a late game. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing, though, based on what Elliott has said and has been saying, what I heard Barry Trotz say, and some of the other whispering I'm hearing, that there is a good chance that the series could start on Sunday and not on Tuesday, as originally was the report from Elliott. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know. I know there was all this speculation about Vancouver's building availability. And that is a factor, right? Pearl Jam's got some concert dates. Justin Timberlake does. We were talking about all these bands. So all that to say, I think there's a legit shot that it could be on Sunday. I know the Predators. I know the fans want to know. Mm-hmm. You better believe that Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett and the players and the traveling people want to know as soon as possible. So I'm thinking prepare for Sunday. And if it's Tuesday, it's Tuesday. But maybe it's Sunday, Tuesday in Vancouver. But as soon as we know, we will absolutely pass that along. And by the way, Jack Leiter, former Vandy boy, is on MLB Network right now making his Major League debut, just through his first Major League
game. All right.
Yeah.
Good job. JT, you from Memphis. Help us out. You know, help the Predators out. Move your concert.
Let's talk to JT. Doesn't he have a residence in the Nashville area, too? Doesn't he have
something? He's got a bar here.
Yeah.
It's 1230
Club. Do the Predators a solid,
somebody knows
man.
Somebody. Yeah.
We'll talk to him. Move your concert, man.
It's easy
We're
going to
take him as a
Predators
fan.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's easy for me to say Pearl Jam, just cancel the concert. But, like, Pearl Jam.
Cancel the concert.
Predators have canceled enough concerts in their day.
Absolutely. They did it. Why you can't
Why
do
can't
it?
Why can't you do it? So, same way, Willie, I've been checking Twitter. I've been double-checking NHL.com to see what the schedule will be. Gonna have to be a little bit more patient, and like you said, I don't think anybody wants to know when you're playing and when you're leaving more than you and the team does. And of course, C-Mace as well, who will join us in 30 minutes. We'll get C-Mace's perspective on what the first round means, the matchup with the Vancouver Canucks, catch up with C-Mace at 1 o'clock. But now we are reacting to a proposed trade that I saw on Bleacher Report. A swap with the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills. So the Bills would get the 7th overall pick. The Titans would get the 28th overall pick this year, the 60th overall pick this year in the second round, the 128th overall pick in the third round this year, and a 2025 first round pick. I'm against it. Willie?
I'm for it, although you've made me think with the Jimmy Johnson value, if I could make that equal. Because apparently, you crunch all the numbers on that chart, it doesn't quite match up. I'm more of a philosophical, you're giving me an extra first, an extra second, an extra third that I don't currently have on a team that desperately needs picks. Philosophically, I'm in on that. I'm in on that. Now, the exact value of the 7th pick versus the 28th pick, that's where I don't know, because I'm not a draft person, I'm not a GM. But if you could make that 50-50, I would take the 50-50 and take the extra picks. I would move down.
See, I would need a little bit more.
Okay. But right, you're telling now, me even if it was 50-50, you're saying you have to win the deal to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't
otherwise
have,
you'd
I don't
rather
have to
take
do a deal.
The pick 7.
I don't have to do a deal right now.
And when
you
the third round rolls
deal.
Right, but when that third round rolls around and you don't have a pick, you can't be calling me, Willie, where's the third round pick? Because I got a way to get you one. And an extra second. And a first next year.
Well, give me more.
Okay.
If, what do you want? If your philosophy is get more you know, throws at the dartboard, then give me even more.
All you calibrators out there that understand the Jimmy Johnson chart, I would love for somebody to tell me what it would take to make it even. What would the Bills need to add to the mix there to make it even? Because you were telling me the numbers that the whole value of their whole draft is whatever. I always remember, too, remember the year that the Saints – traded their whole draft
for Ricky Williams.
For Ricky Williams?
Yeah.
I remember Floyd Reese, the first time we got a chance to talk to him, and I don't think he said it on the air, you know, with any kind of criticism. Mm-hmm. Off the air, he was laughing. He goes, I would have signed up on that in a heartbeat. Like, he said,
easy.
He said, I would have been sitting down at the dinner table going, okay, let's have a draft. I got a lot of picks here.
And, you know, speaking of trading your whole draft, according to the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, the 7th overall pick, the Titans pick right now, is worth $1,500. Mm-hmm. The Bills' entire draft this year is worth $1,150.
Right. So how many picks do they have in the draft?
Do they have all their picks? I'll have to double check. But even if you give me all your picks this year, it's still not even nearly good enough.
So does
but the, when you said but the other part of it is this because it's sort of irrelevant what the whole draft is worth, but the key is what is the second pick, which is pick number 60, mm-hmm. pick 128, what are the values of those, plus next year's first round pick, which we don't know what it's going to be exactly, but it's estimated at 300? Is that what you said?
Estimated at 300.
Okay.
So if you even throw that in, you're still only at 1450. My pick's worth 1500, so I need even more in next year's draft. And really, frankly, I don't know what the Bills have. I'll look that up right now. But your 6th and your 7th this year, that's
right, I'm
great
not interested
and all.
In that.
I'm not interested in that. I'm more interested in a 2nd or and a 3rd next year to your 2nd and 3rd this year.
Okay, so if you, I don't know what it would be. An extra 3rd, an extra 4th to make it 50-50. I go by, again, the article that really caught my attention this week that did the studies of, over time, what works. And without getting all the details in there again, because we've gone over a lot of it, but you have a great chance of getting a great return on your investment by trading down and getting future picks. That is the time-tested studies have shown works. Not every single time. There's no guarantee with anything you do.
But
it works more often than it doesn't work. You get a great return on investment by getting extra picks. So I, especially looking at the Titans roster, which is thin, mm-hmm. we need more picks.
And I don't want to poo-poo it at all.
If I'm in charge. That would be my philosophy.
But the data stops at 2004. What does the last 20 years look like?
I would assume that it's about the same.
I would assume, but I don't know. And I would be interested to see with how much the league has changed, how much it's transitioned into so much more of a passing league. how draft strategies might be a little bit different to accommodate how playing strategy is. I would be intrigued to see, okay, 2004 to 2024, how much different does that look? Is
but
it
the,
really
the
that
article
much more
implies
beneficial for you?
The whole theme of the article is people haven't learned, that people still make the same mistakes today that they made when some of the people that were interviewed for this article, when this study first came out. People are like, oh, that's interesting. Let's look into that. And still today, they're making the same mistakes that they made because of that urge or that fear of missing out on the seventh pick instead of looking at the big picture. And they really praise the Ravens, who are a team that over time has accumulated a lot of picks. They've traded down a bunch, and they've had as much success as anybody, especially for a team that's almost never bad. I don't ever remember a really bad Ravens team that's picking high. Might be one or two in there. Mm-hmm. But by and large, they're consistent winners. And how do they replenish their roster? They subscribe to this.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on the draft. We can go with these charts. You know, some charts are different than the others. I'm reading through here, and Harvard has a trade value chart as well. And the numbers are different on
Harvard's trade value than
it is the Jimmy Johnson trade value. What has
Harvard ever won a game in their lives?
Exactly.
A lot of people end up on sports rosters.
What has Harvard given the NFL?
Right. A lot of people in front offices in different sports are definitely
a lot of these analytic
from those
people
places.
are coming from you know, Ivy League schools, Harvard, whatever the case may be. But you make this move because you know the draft is a strong draft. If the draft is not a strong draft, why are you making this move? Because what are you doing, picking up more mediocre players? Mm-hmm. If this is a strong draft at certain positions, which it seems like it is, a wide receiver, left tackle, offensive lineman, maybe there's another position that grades high in this year's draft. Well, if that's the case, then okay. But if this is not a draft that many believes is a deep draft, why am I accumulating all these picks, even this year or next year? Because people evaluate the draft. They are already evaluating the draft for next year, and they're already telling you what kind of draft is going to be. Now, it'll fluctuate some because some guys will come out of woodwork and in college and just have that breakout season, and it changes it a little bit. But if it's a deep draft, you can afford to make the moves that Willie talked about as far as, or that you proposed to Willie as far as all the picks. If the draft deep, give me that. Give me what you just. I take it all day, every day. Give me all those picks. I give you my seventh round pick. That's if the draft is a deep draft. If we all consider this a deep draft. If this is not a deep draft, keep your picks. I don't want it. Because it does nothing for me. Only thing I'm doing is getting more mediocre to horrible players, which is eventually is going to get me fired.
I need a good player over a bunch of mediocre players.
Right. That's what I said. That's why I would. Yeah. It all depends on the draft, like this year's draft, is it worth trading all those, making all those moves, accumulating all those picks?
And I would have to, if I'm in charge, I might have this philosophy in general, but if I go to you and you're the scouting people and you say, don't do it this year because this draft isn't.
It's deep, not a draft.
Then I have to weigh that, right? I'm talking about a philosophical play. And D. Mace is bringing up a great point. Is every draft you have to say, okay, how is this draft compared to last draft, compared to what we think maybe next year's draft is going to be? Like, they don't usually talk about it, but I think they might have an idea about next year's draft.
If you're going to trade the seventh overall pick for a first round pick next year, you need to know what you're getting yourself into.
That needs to be part of the talk.
Because Charles Robinson said this morning when he was on Robbie and Rex Road, he said the quarterbacks next year aren't nearly as valuable as they are this year. Yeah. So next year, let's say fifth overall pick, hypothetically, is not nearly as valuable as what it is this year.
So why would I make that trade?
So because the quarterbacks are better this year. We know the quarterbacks dictate everything.
But I don't need a quarterback now. So if I'm not a quarterback needy team,
I'm just saying, like, the pick that where you are is valuable because of teams that do need quarterbacks.
Yeah, it can inflate the value of that pick.
Yes,
because the quarterbacks run up the chart.
Like but last again, year, yeah. you could trade out of the first overall pick, which the mm-hmm. Bears did do because they didn't want that quarterback. This year, the Bears ain't moving.
Yeah.
They're not nudging because Caleb Williams is that valuable.
But that it leads to every draft is different. And you make moves based upon how that draft is looking. And you may even look the year after that, how the draft can potentially look. How do we rank these players in this year's and next year's draft? If this is a draft, again, if this is a draft with a bunch of good players, okay, let's make the deal. I make it all day, every day. But if it's not a draft, because these points that are put in place in this Jimmy Johnson chart, well, okay, if you – It's 3,000 points for the first round, for the first pick in the draft. What if the next two drafts are not even worth that? Then what do? I'm not making a trade if it's not worth it. You exactly. see what I'm saying? Yeah. I am not – this year, if I'm the Tennessee Titans and y'all are – this is the trade you're proposing. As if I'm Rand Carthon in a bunch, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of how does this draft rank? How deep is this draft? Because I can make this move and get all these picks. And if it's a good draft, I'm more likely to hit as the draft goes. If it's not a good draft, it's not a deep draft, yeah, I got all these picks, but I'm getting a bunch of players that more than likely ain't going to be on my team. Mm-hmm. And then eventually what happens? You gave up all those. You gave up that spot to get all those picks. None of those picks are working out. Well, maybe one or two are working out. Your first round pick and maybe your second. But then after that, everybody else is not. You're going to end up getting fired.
And Buffalo's in the AFC Championship exactly. game because they drafted Roma Dunze at 7th overall. Like
exactly.
That,
so it just depends on the draft.
Which is what happened with the Falcons and the Browns when the Falcons traded up mm-hmm. to draft Julio Jones. And
yeah.
Atlanta got Julio freaking Jones and ended up in the Super Bowl. And Cleveland ended up with Brandon Whedon and two players that they ended up cutting 3 years later.
They cut
and
them
all.
And
I know that's anecdotal, but I think we can afford to be anecdotal because it's about this draft. Not any other draft. This draft.
So this draft. I'm going to ask the both of you, is it worth it, based upon what people have been saying about this draft, is it worth it to make that move?
No.
I would have to ask Teron. Teron would know better than me. I couldn't tell you. I haven't done the research. I have looked at what has worked over the long term, what I think this Titans roster needs, what my expectations are for this coming year. To me, this is an exploratory year. This is a rebuilding year. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to build for the long term. I think the best way to do that is with more picks, mm-hmm. and they don't have a lot of picks. So this is a way to replenish faster, mm-hmm. in my mind, to get the roster where it needs to be in the next 2 to 3 years, which I think is more realistic.
It's just hard for me to
move from 7
to 28.
The Texans might disagree with you there, though.
The Texans, why?
Because they drafted their quarterback with a 2nd overall pick and their defensive star with a 3rd overall pick.
Right.
Had they decided to trade back and missed out on both Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud, we might still be talking about Houston as the laughing stock of the league and not a potential Super Bowl contender. But let's get back into your thoughts on this coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers at First Horizon Park. Pre-game at 6:20 p.m., first pitch at 6:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
Speaking of baseball, it has not gone well in Jack Leiter's second major league inning. He was staked to a 4-0 lead. He set the Tigers down in the first, but the Tigers getting some good swings on him right now. They've come back to tie the game 4-4, and they're still hitting with one out in the bottom of the second inning. So I feel for, as the dad of a pitcher, I feel for Al Leiter right now, who has got his whole family there watching the game. And you can just see it on his face that, you know, he wants him to do so bad. I get it. I've been there.
The
D-Mace has been there. We know this feeling.
A little,
it's hard to watch.
Little house divided. Yeah. Jack Leiter and Bandy Boy versus D-Mace's Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. We'll catch up with C. Mace. We'll get C. Mace's thoughts on the Predators' first-round matchup against the Vancouver Canucks. Also, I always hear the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is always the hardest. I want to get C. Mace's perspective on that. Is that real? Why is that the case? So we'll catch up with Chris Mason at the top of the hour. But first, I want to get your thoughts and reaction on a proposed trade that we saw on Bleacher Report, a trade back where the Titans would get the 28th overall pick, the Buffalo Bills would get the 7th overall pick, and the Titans would get 60 in the second round, 128 in the third round, and a 2025 first round pick. Let's get into your thoughts on that. And our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter texts in, says, did it occur to anyone that the chart from Jimmy Johnson isn't correct and that the anticipated value doesn't match the real value of the players after they've been drafted?
Well, yeah.
You can't calculate value after players have been drafted.
You're basing it upon what they've done and what you protect them to do in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Now, what they end up doing is a different story. You know, it's that's out of your hands. But there are indicators that would suggest if you draft this guy at this position with this pick, then either he's going to work out or he won't.
And I think another important thing to remember is if there was an exact science or formula to finding a great player and difference makers in first, second, third rounds, like, we would be going by that. GMs would never lose their jobs and teams would be great, but that's not necessarily the case. Anything can happen. You can find your franchise player at 28. You could draft a total bust at 7. I think what we're talking about here, the crux of the issue, is value. In exchange for that pick, if you're moving off of that pick, make it worth my while. One texter texts in, says, if the Titans think that they can win this year, then stay put. If the thought is 2 years from now, then accumulate and trade back. I don't think that necessarily should be the thought process. I think the thought process should be, how do we make our team as good as we possibly can wherever we draft?
Yeah, it has to be. And I'm sure the Titans feel they can win this year with the things, the moves that they've made in the offseason, with the, you know, draft and who they expect to draft or who they want to draft. I think they believe they can win this season. So if you think you can win, you make your moves based upon that.
Another texter says, I'd be more open to trading the 38th pick than the 7th. Again, where are you moving back? But I would probably agree. I've seen a lot of mock drafts that have the Titans moving back like to 41 or to 44 in exchange for a handful of thirds.
Will that give you that third round pick that you need? If you're trading out of the 38th pick down to like the 45th or somewhere around there.
Yeah, philosophically, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Like this, this just came across the bow today, right? This specific trade that we've been debating.
Yeah.
That's just one. Like, I'm more of a philosophical, I like the idea of trading down where the Titans are right now, and I'm not as worried about what happens this year to this team. I want to be good in 2 years and 3 years. That's, to me, a realistic target. And so, regardless of the specifics, I think the best way to do that is trade down and get more picks in theory. But every proposal is different, right? Mm-hmm. We got to know what the specifics are.
And what's the value?
Yeah.
Are you making it worth my while? Again, you want what I have. I don't have to give you what I have. But Wes in Clarksville, Texas says, what would the Bills be moving up to 7-4? What player? That's a lot that they're giving up. I would assume a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, move on from Stephon Diggs, trade Stephon Diggs to the Texans. They would probably want a crack at Adunze or Neighbors if he falls to 7.
Yeah, one of those top receivers that you're not going to get at the 28th pick.
Yep, exactly. All right, Chris Mason will join us coming up next. We will preview the Predators' first round matchup against the Vancouver Canucks. Again, like Willie mentioned, no word quite yet on exactly what the schedule would be, but we're hearing possibly Sunday. So we'll catch up with C. Mason coming up next. Caroline, Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.